Many people know about the Word of God. In fact, many people know truths concerning the Word of God. But oftentimes they don't really know the Word of God. Not until you come into a personal relationship with the Word, as John chapter 1 talks about, can you really understand the Bible. For it is through a saving relationship with Christ that the Spirit of God comes into our lives, the third person of the Trinity, to seal us. And it is then with His power, with His illumination, that we begin to understand the Word of God, and that causes us to know the Lord in a wonderful way. But what is tragic is that many believers know the facts of the Word of God, but oftentimes don't really know the Word of God. It's not changing their life. It's not the center of their life. It is not the power of their life. And that is why the local church is so important. In 1 Timothy 3:15, it says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth." One of the core purposes of a church, of course, the ultimate purpose is to glorify the Lord. But one of the ultimate purposes of a church is to uphold and teach and live out the reality of the Bible, the Word of God. You remember that day when you got saved, how the Bible began to come alive? And then you remember the day when you gave your life to Christ to serve Him and you were excited about it, all of a sudden everything changed. I read my Bible through from second grade on. And you say, wow, you were quite the guy. I know I had quite the parents, you know. I was instructed to do so, and thankfully I'm glad they made me do it. But I remember as a 15-year-old when I fully consecrated my life to Christ, the Bible, I couldn't wait to get up in the morning and read the Word of God. And how much is it really ours? Well, that's our role as a church, to be centered on the Word of God. In fact, for each one of us as individuals, 1 Corinthians 4:1 says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God," speaking of the great truths, especially emphasized in the New Testament there. "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." We often think of that of financial stewardship, but really in the context, it is a matter of biblical stewardship, that we are to hold to the truth, understand by God's power the truth, and then give out the truth. We are the stewards of the Word of God. Turn with me, please. This is not our major text, but this is something I want us to see here, and I'd like you to look at it. Nehemiah chapter 8. Here the people of God had come back into the land, and unfortunately, even after the great miracle of coming back into the land, Cyrus the Great, spoken to by God, let them come back, and then God did a miracle with Darius, the emperor, after that. And then with Artaxerxes, it's just amazing what God did. With all those miracles, they still did not let the Word of God rule in their lives. And so Ezra the scribe, who had come from Persia, Medo-Persia, and we have the story of that in the book of Ezra, he gathers the people together here in chapter 8 of Nehemiah. And he brings the law to them and begins to speak, verse 3, "And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law." He gets up in the pulpit, verse 4, verse 5, "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, the people stood up." Now, how would you like it if I asked you, folks, would you please stand for the rest of the message? You'd say, oh, my. That might help a few of you. But anyway, no, we won't do that. But that's what they did. And it wasn't for 40 minutes. It was for hours. And And then in verse 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. That's quite a reaction to the word of God, isn't it? Verse 8, so they read in the book in the law, this is all the Levites and everybody helping Ezra, distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. May I submit to you that that is one of the core purposes of any local church, the pillar and ground of truth. We need to exalt the word of God and in its proper place. We need to communicate the word of God. We need to communicate it distinctly in its full and proper sense. And we need to have the power of God upon us so that can be accomplished. No one can grow, no one can go forward in their Christian life without the word of God. And then you look over at chapter 9, and we see the leadership of Israel, especially the Levites and all, and the priests, and they cry out to the Lord. Then they go over how good God had been to them. And then I just want you to note at the very end of chapter 9, and because of all of this, verse 38, we make a sure covenant and write it in our princes, Levites, and priests, seal unto it. Well, who are the priests in the New Testament day? If you're saved here today, I'm looking at a nation of priests, is what the Bible says. And the local church is to help each one of us be all that God wants us to be through the Word of God. That's why we preach the Word of God here in our services. And there, we need to make it front and center. And in the New Testament, each one of us as individuals are dealt with the same way God dealt with the nation of Israel as a whole. That's a very clear interpretational principle. And so this covenant of the Lord with the nation of Israel is that which God wants us to have in this New Testament era, for us to be committed completely to knowing the Word of God. That means reading it, meditating, memorizing it, understanding it, so walking with God that we have spiritual illumination, and then be willing to teach what we have learned so that the Word of God can go forth in power. Would you not agree with me? That's the core, one of the core principles of a church like ours. I mean, this church is nothing without the Word of God. The programs, nothing that matter if it's not centered on the living, inerrant, inspired Word of God. Well, today is Commissioning Sunday, and I am excited about how many of you have surrendered to the call to do what God has called you to do. But I want to remind all of us that everyone here, if you're unable to do that, you are still part of Bible studies, Sunday school groups. Every one of us should be learning, growing, supporting, and being part of the great commission of teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And I trust that we'll all understand that God has a great ministry, as we've been preaching about for several months now, for each one here in this auditorium. I'm going to ask several of our leadership to come just down here in front of the platform, and we're going to commission our leadership for this coming year. I'd like to ask our division leaders to please come, and also our Sunday school leader, Dr. Kojima. So our division leaders, is Brother Raines in here? And then Joe Kane, and we need Brother Meyer. There he is. He and I worked it out. He's down front. Hopefully we can get word to Brother Raines here. And then I'd like our adult fellowship leaders, all of our adult fellowship leaders, if you would please come to the front, our adult fellowship leaders. Brother Meyer is the leader of the preschool division. Brother Kane is the division leader of the elementary division. And Brother Raines is the leader of the teen division. And then Pastor Van helps lead the adult division. And so, we're missing some of our guys here. All right. Also, Brother Ken, if you would come, you the Assist Fellowship. Yes. He's what? Oh, he's at Manitowoc. Well, he should be able to get down here fast enough for that. So. All right, very good. I just wanted you to see these men, and thankful for each one of them. And there are several more that are not in the auditorium at this time. And we're thankful for our fellowship leaders. And if I brought all our Bible study leaders up and our teachers, we would, we'd have half the crowd up here. So what I'd like to do is what we did, what they did at that time. I'd like everyone please to stand. Dr. Kojima, if you would come. He is our Sunday school leader and better known as Mr. Sunday School. And starting now, he is taking full reins of our Sunday school. I appreciate all the work that he's already put into this and, of course, so many others. But if you would pray, and then I'll follow. And this just, all of these folks, every one of us are part of this ministry of the Word, either in supporting it or leading in it. And just as they did then, they made a covenant one to another. So let's dedicate this group and these that are leaders and all that are involved. So if you'd lead in prayer, please.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to enable us to meet the commission, the great commission that you have given us. Lord, you have prepared a heart for all the people here. You have built this church. This is your church. And not only we feel a great responsibility and a burden, but this is our privilege and a joy to be part of what you are doing in this New Testament church, in this location in the Menominee Falls. And Lord, we are truly blessed as a Christian and a believer to be able to work together and share the gospel with the people we care. And you have gathered, and the men and women, and the boys and girls, has such a heart for the Lord, and have worked and learned and grow, what a privilege it is to be able to work together. Lord, we ask you to truly help us to do your will, and each one will find your will, walk in it, and absolutely commit for the cause that you have given us. So Lord, this morning, I ask you, as we dedicated ourselves to be a servant, Lord, will you enable us? Will you fill us with the Spirit? And because we cannot do this with our own power, we need your filling. We need you to tell us and show us every step from here. Lord, thank you so much for the dedicated servant right in front of us, the division leaders, and their walk with the Lord and their longevity and their transparency. And we are so thankful for, we appreciate their leadership. I pray that you help them and enable them and their families come together and watch over them. Lord, and we have minister in front of us, everyone, every member minister. God, will you enable them and fill them with the Spirit daily that we would walk with you? Lord, we are doing this because you loved us first. And Lord, we want to show our love back to you as we draw closer to you. And God, I pray that you would draw closer to us. Mm-hmm. Lord, will you bless the service to come as Pastor Van Gelderen share his heart? We love you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And the Lord, as David said, oh, how I love thy law. And may we be a people that loves your word. Would you bless now the remaining of the service? Bless these folks that are committed to leading and guiding and being the examples that they ought to be. Lord, there's so much involved. And others that are not here at this moment, would you bless them? And Lord, we ask for your hand to be upon us in these days ahead. Would every member of this church and everyone who's part of this church, really understand how important they are. Encourage them, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, gentlemen. All right. Somebody said, fires of iniquity may burn Bibles, evil hearts may deny its truth, but they do not destroy it or evade its message. The Word of God endures forever. Dr. Robert Dick Wilson, one of the most brilliant men in the history of mankind, former professor of Semitic philology at Princeton Theological Seminary years ago, after 45 years, he says, of scholarly research in biblical textual studies and in language study, I have come now to the conviction that no man knows enough to assail the truthfulness of the Old Testament. Where there is sufficient documentary evidence to make an investigation, the statements of the Bible in the original text have stood the test. And it is amazing. After all the attack on the Word of God, it still stands sure. It's amazing. And then from the archaeological side, the noted J.O. Kinnaman said, of the hundreds of thousands of artifacts found by the archaeologists, not one has ever been discovered that contradicts or denies one word, phrase, clause, or sentence of the Bible, but always confirms and verifies the facts of the biblical record. And we rejoice with that. But my friends, you know what the greatest evidence of the Word of God is? A biblical New Testament church. The reality of Bible Christianity. And that's why it is so important for each of us to realize as we minister in small groups, as we interact with one another, as we grow individually in the Word of God, we are affecting one another. And that we are in a world that Satan is trying to blind and take away from the Word of God. It is a core purpose of all of us to give of ourselves, to so know the Word of God and have the power of God, that this is a lighthouse and that this community can receive the Word of God, which is the only hope for their lives. Turn with me to a very familiar passage, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And we're going to take just a few moments and go over this all-important passage on the inspiration of the Word of God. If you have a Bible in your lap today, that Bible is the Word of God. That is the most precious book in all the world. That is the most valued book you can ever have because it came from the heart of God. It answers, where did we come from? It answers who we are. It answers, how do we solve our problem? And it tells us about what's going to come in all the rest of eternity. That's amazing, isn't it? Everything we need to know for life and godliness is found in the Word of God. If you'll read that with me, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. First of all, the importance of inspiration. We have to know what we believe is true. And the Word of God clearly speaks to inspiration, as I'll talk about. But the reason it's so important is the object of our faith is the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Everything about who we are, everything about our relationship with God, everything about our future comes from knowing the Word of God and believing it. If you're going to have faith in anything, as F.B. Meyer gives three necessary preliminaries in order to have faith, these things have to be there. Someone must make an engagement, a promise. There must be a good reason for believing in the integrity and sufficiency of the person by whom the engagement has been made. And then there follows a comfortable assurance that it will be even so. In fact, the believer is able to count on the object promised as being not less sure than if it had already come into actual possession. So folks, we've got to have it down in the core of our being. Our faith is based upon absolute truth. And that's what the Bible clearly declares. C.H. Spurgeon said, the pith, the essence of faith lies in this. casting oneself on the promise. And so faith is a simple choice to depend upon the reality of the Word of God. We stake our eternal life, we stake our personal life on the words of God. Now you say, wow, well, faith is central to everything you do. I like what one writer said. Faith is central to all of life. For example, you go to a doctor whose name you cannot pronounce, I have one like that, and whose degrees you have never verified. He gives you a prescription you cannot read, that's for sure. You take it to a pharmacist you've never seen before. He gives you a chemical compound you do not understand. Then you go home and take the pill according to the instructions on the bottle. That's faith, folks. That's actually takes more faith than belief in the Word of God. And so, as I already said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I love the statement by Dwight L. Moody, the great evangelist. He said, once said, if all the time that I have spent praying for faith would be put together, it would be months. I thought that someday faith was going to come down and strike me like lightning. But faith did not come. One day I read in the 10th of Romans, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I closed my Bible and prayed for faith. I had now opened my Bible and began to read God's Word, and faith has been growing ever since. It's knowing God's Word and simply trusting it. It's not some feeling. It's not some zap. It is believing God's Word and then depending upon it. That's how you get saved. And then depending upon it, that's how you grow in the Lord. So is the Bible important? Folks, every part of our life, it's important. And so at the reality of our faith, I'd love to go into Hebrews 11, 1. I don't have time. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It simply is, as Kent says, hence faith is the confident assurance which the believer has because God has provided conviction about unseen realities. And it's amazing. As you know the Word of God, the Spirit of God confirms it, and you know those things are sure, and you live with assurance. You know, one of the greatest things in life is to be at rest and at peace because you know these things are true. And that's why it's not just saying we have a doctrinal statement. We've got to be living it out. We've got to lead people to steps of faith where they actually experience that interaction with God in which God meets that need. God works in the heart. God makes those truths real. All right, let's look now at the method of inspiration. Back to our text in verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration. It is God-breathed. That's one word in the Greek. It's used only once in the New Testament and never in secular Greek. This is a word, as one writer said, it would seem that God fashioned the word for the special purpose of informing us accurately how he transmitted his word into the language of men. He breathed into the Bible writers an understanding, and so they were superintended by God. Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Here you have the heavens made by God's mouth, his speaking. Jesus refuted Satan's propositions there in his great temptation, quoting Deuteronomy 8:3, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So God used, worked through human instruments. Like Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. When you read Jeremiah, you're reading the words of God. 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, here's what, I want you to listen to this. God miraculously allowed man to keep his personality while perfectly superintending the revelation. Now, aren't you glad that you can relate to the Word of God? Human beings are communicating with human beings, but they're human beings superintended by Almighty God, the Spirit of God. And so God You know, God's so powerful, he's able to so superintend their writings that they maintain their personality and we can relate to them, and yet what comes out is the completed, perfect Word of God. That's a glorious miracle. They were in that passage in 2 Peter 1, said they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It means literally taken up, borne along. Note this, as a passenger is taken up aboard ship. As a passenger has freedom to move within the ship, so the sacred writers had the free exercise of their individual powers and characteristics, but they went exactly where God wanted them to go. And so it gives you a little bit of an idea on that. So God put his thoughts into the Bible writers and miraculously superintended the choice of words. Psalm 119:89, we're reading that all right now in our Bible reading, if you're up to date on that. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. All right, number three, the extent of inspiration. All scripture. Wow, that's exciting. All scripture. That's God's thing. So as you look from Genesis to Revelation, you have the word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 9, if you'd like to open it, but I'm just going to comment on it. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Folks, and this is one of the most important points I can give you. What you have in the Word of God is not the ideas of man. It is what God revealed. You see, God is all powerful. And God knows all. And God, in his graciousness, revealed to man what mankind could have never known without God. In fact, God took his thought processes and put them into the very heart and mind of the Bible writers. So what you have here is the mind of God. What you have here is what you could never figure out. Philosophy never works. By the way, in your human life, if you try to circumvent the Word of God and you try to figure things out yourself, you'll always come up frustrated. Because the human mind's just a little... I mean, folks, compared to God, we're so finite. The most brilliant people are very, very limited. But God took his full and complete knowledge, gave us what we needed to know. That's called revelation. He revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the Spirit... the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man? I mean, I can think I know what you're thinking, but I am, you know, the only people that get close to that are our wives. Gentlemen, you know what I'm talking about. They can sort of figure us out, but they still don't know what we're thinking. No one knows what you're thinking unless you tell them what you're thinking. How can man, puny little man, think he can figure out the mind of Almighty God? It's amazing to me. So even the spirit of man, which is even so things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's what this word of God is. Which things also we speak. Now he's speaking as a Bible writer, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but in the words, you can insert that in, that's the whole idea there, which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual words. Again, that's in the whole context there. And so this is what you call verbal inspiration. God allowed the Bible writers to keep their personality, but he gave them what only he knew and superintended them miraculously to write it down so that every word was accurate. Aren't you glad he loves us that much that he did that for us? We have the Word of God that we can relate to because it was written by human beings, but that is perfect and that we can trust. Stuart Custer, in his book, has some definitions that I think will help you here. Let me just read them. Revelation, I've already talked about, is the direct communication by God of previously unknown truth. And that would be everything that we, as far as truth. Inspiration, a supernatural influence of the Holy Spirit on the biblical writers so that their writings are divinely trustworthy and authoritative. Verbal inspiration, I just emphasize that, means that the very word of Scripture are divinely inspired, and authoritative. Plenary inspiration, now that's a special word to learn. You'll hear that in a doctrinal statement, means full inspiration. Every part of the scripture is completely inspired. And then this one's so important, inerrancy. The characteristics of scripture which renders it without mistake and therefore infallible, not just in religious matters, but also in matters of historic and scientific fact. Before the ancient world ever talked about the world being round, the Bible talks about it. It's accurate, and it is inerrant. It is God's complete work. Every part of Scripture is God's word to us. Again, C.H. Spurgeon, whatever is in the Scripture, we accept as infallible truth. And by the way, from Genesis to Revelation, it's all the word of God. We need to understand it, know it. We ought not minimize any section. We must interpret it literally. As when you write to someone, you may use metaphors and all, but you put it into the literal context, and we just take the Bible in the simple, normal sense, and we do it in the context. Like I just mentioned from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we often talk about it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful, and it's fine to talk about that with finances, but what's it talking about? Truth. That's the context. If you look at the verse prior to it, that's context, you understand what it means. And then God's expectation is that there's no contextualization. What does that mean? That means in adapting scripture to culture. Who controls culture? Satan, the god of this world. I don't think we ought to be adapting scripture to Satan's culture. Now, there are neutral things in culture, but have you noticed that God's word goes counterculture? Because the fact that Satan is trying to destroy our lives. All right, let me finish with this. The purposes of inspiration. Let's go back to our verse. All scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable. That means it's very important. That's what that means. Profitable, very important for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we see here it's very important for our lives. Every part is important. We need to know the Word of God. It is profitable for doctrine. It is to know truth, to understand what God is teaching us, to get the big picture on what God has done, who He is, His plan of salvation, and what He will do for us now. Listen, the Word of God helps us to have very much clarity on how we can have victory, how God can grow us, our lives can be transformed. Every part of the Word of God is vital. We cannot ever understand truth without God's revelation. And as I've already mentioned, it's the basis of faith. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And it is the key to serve the Lord. As we're talking about future ministry here, some of you may be involved in it for the very first time. Well, believe me, it's going to be always a challenge and a spiritual battle. But the word of God is how we can have the victory. And I'm telling you, soldiers that are about to be deployed listen to the lectures of their officers very closely. They learn their part of the military in as full way as possible because they know their life and the lives of others are going to depend upon their understanding of the truth about their part of warfare. And one reason that Bible study seems so irrelevant to many Christians that they have no interaction in this matter of ministry. They don't understand that not only is their lives need to grow, but people's lives are at stake that they're going to be involved in. This is why I chose this subject for those of us heading into ministry. And so every factor that people need comes from the Word of God, and the more you know, the more you can be a blessing. I'm telling you, it's the greatest thrill in the world to be able to give truth and see lives transformed. Just this week, I've had a couple of those things happen, and lives, decisions of faith were made, and it's just thrilling. I mean, I never get over it when a person takes a step of faith. And it's not a step of faith in me, it's a step of faith in the Word of God. It's profitable for reproof. It's for convicting of what is false. It helps us understand our natural mind, will, and emotions. We sometimes call that our soulish life. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, helping us understand when we're actually spirit-led and when we're just going with our humanity, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, it's one of the reasons people don't read God's word, because it can be painful. Listen, folks, the worst condition that a person can have if they don't have the ability to feel pain, if you've ever seen people that don't have that for various reasons, you see they're deformed, they have all kinds of problems because there's not pain to protect them. And my friends, God has given us a conscience, He's given us His spirit within us, and the word of God will point out what is hurting us and hurting others. And if we'll respond in faith, God will then give us victory over that, and we live more and more in that abundant life that God wants us to have. Don't be afraid of reading the word of God. Don't be afraid of preaching of the word of God, teaching of the word of God. The more you can be under that and in that, the more you will be protected. It's the love of God that it is profitable for reproof. Nobody here likes reproof, right? That's just naturally we don't like it. But you need to embrace it. Oh, listen, open your heart to the word of God. It's profitable for correction, restoration to an upright position or right state. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed according to thy word. Psalm 119:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God's people said, isn't that wonderful? You ought to be forgiven today. You ought to know you're forgiven today. You ought to know you're cleansed today. That's what God says. And if you know the word of God and apply it properly by the Holy Spirit, you can live with a free conscience and an open relationship with your God. That's what this book does for you. And it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. I love this. This is the same term for child training, paideia. And so the word of God continues to train us. By the way, folks, our training doesn't end after we get to 18. Okay. In fact, as believers, as the Hebrews chapter 12 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Guess what word that is? Paideia. Same word. He's constantly growing us. Doesn't matter what decade of life we're in. And that's why our Bible studies in our 20s, our Bible studies for our 40s, our Bible studies for our 60s are all vital, all addressing the growth that needs to be in those decades of our life. That whole maturing process. And the goal of inspiration, verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works, to be in a place that we're functioning as God wants us to function, mature. And that's what the Word of God will do for you. You look at mature Christians and say, oh, you know, I wish I could be like that. Here you go. You got it. Got the same Bible anybody else has. Just believe it. And you'll be truly furnished. You'll have everything you need to live a life of powerful ministry and great blessing. God is able to demonstrate His work through us. So as a church, folks, we are the pillar and ground of truth. Ministry in these coming days, whatever it is, even if you're just supporting your Bible study, if you come and support your Bible study leaders, learn yourself so that you can go on to serve the Lord, all of that together is what keeps the work of God going. That's why we took a few minutes to dedicate these that are leading. We are leading in a ministry so that the Word of God can be uplifted in our lives and that we can have it saturated in our lives, that we can know the truth and have God's blessing in our lives. God can hang the stars on high, can paint the clouds that drift on by, can send the sun across the sky. What could He do through you? If he can send a storm through space and dot with trees the mountain's face, if he the sparrow's way can trace, what could he do through you? If God can do such little things as count our hairs or birds that sing, control the universe that's wings, what could he do through you? He'll do it if you'll let him.